Now, you show me somebody who can solve problems, practical problems, who knows how to solve. You show me that person and then come and show me how the family cause is still operating. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can solve the problems there. I'm not saying you have just theoretical knowledge. I'm talking about innovation, which means you are a problem solver. And show me any person there. I know what we believe is that God will, I'm sorry to use this word, but God will promote daft people. That's what we believe, all right? Which means I don't have to improve knowledge-wise. I can be as daft as I want to be, but God will just promote. Show me anybody that God has promoted that did not show superior wisdom, all right, or superior skill. That was what qualified them to promote it. What made them promoted there was that they had superior wisdom. So what God is saying is, look, I want to produce people, all right, that have that from within. Not people that are empty and then say that because I have a relationship with God, based on that, all right, I really don't have to be qualified, but God will just put me right there in position. Now you show me one person, all right, who did that inside the Bible? Everybody had something they did. So what happened was they taught them, and then they found them in them that they had 10 times more understanding. So the Holy Spirit worked on the material that was before them, and it worked inside their hearts to produce something based on the material that was right before them. Now, because we don't pay attention to this form of knowledge, we don't pay attention to it as Christians, all right? We don't really pay attention to that. We basically put ourselves out of the game. So a person who has no information about the engine of a car is out of the game when the mechanics are talking about, all right, being profitable from repairing cars. You're out of the game. You don't have information that a doctor has. You're out of the medical game. You don't have information, all right, that lawyers have. You're out of the game there. You cannot operate in that field, all right? And when we don't prioritize this, then what happens is we put ourselves out of, all right, literally out of the grave. Then we create an alternative world for ourselves. Okay? An alternative world where people believe that, you know, I'll just pay this plan. And now there's confession. I'm going to show this here. But it opens up our consciousness to this process. It opens up something because the word is going inside. Discerning thoughts. It's opening up something. Right? But we create this alternative world that we now live in, where we now suffer from what is called confirmation bias. In other words, we are looking for people that will reinforce what we know, and anybody says something that is different, right, from what we know and wants to bust our bubble, all right, then we begin to react to that. Instead of finding out the information as to how nations have been transformed. And working intelligently with that name. And the Holy Spirit comes in and shows and says, all right, in your own situation, do this and do this and do this. All right? And then we begin to work with that and bring about real change within our society. Psalm 119 and verse 99. Let's look at this in the life of David. He said, I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. So he says here, I have more understanding. So he was taught. But he said, when I was taught now, I have more understanding. So it was the Holy Spirit that gave him more understanding than even the people that were teaching him. And he said, the reason is that your testimonies are my meditation. In other words, it's the activity of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me as I meditate on the Word of God. So I meditate on relevant scriptures. Then I expose myself to the information that I'm being taught naturally, and I come out with more understanding than my teachers. But if I do not, all right, allow myself to be taught or gain information, that I just leave the Holy Spirit within me, quote unquote here, handicap, which means there is nothing he can do. He's activated, he says, listen, give me the material, and then I will show you, I will combine things. I will show you things. And says you will have more understanding. I mean, I remember in school, I had a friend, he was even my best friend at my wedding, we used to call him Einstein. And how do we call him Einstein? One day in class, it was in lower six, well, in additional mathematics, and the man was teaching the teacher, and he got stuck. He literally got stuck and tried it. He said, tried it. This chap just sat down. He said, sir, if you put this over here and change this, put this down here, we will get the answer. The man did it, and the answer came. Now, let me tell you something. I can remember what the teacher was wearing, and I can remember what my friend was wearing. I never forgot. And from that day, we started calling him Albert Einstein. Stein, right? Never forgot it. I'm saying that when you demonstrate more understanding, people in authority will never forget you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When they said, go and send for somebody, it wasn't out of emptiness. They did something. They made an impression. There was something that they did. All right? So he says, I have more understanding because I meditate on your statute. He says, when I'm being taught, when that information is coming, I can, all right, have more insight into it. This is exactly what happened to Jesus. Luke chapter 2 and verse 45. Exactly what happened to Jesus. When he went back to meet the doctors of the law, all right, in Luke 45, it tells us, Luke 2 and verse 45, it says, and when they found him not, this was his mother and father, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And in verse 46, and it came to pass then after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them, so he heard them, they taught him, and then the Holy Spirit made a combination, and then he asked them based on the combination the Holy Spirit made, and look at what happened. The next verse here, the Bible says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. In other words, when he asked them questions, they said, oh, chief, where do you get this? I mean, you know, you ask a question that destabilizes the teacher. Now, the teacher is teaching, and suddenly what was going on was that Jesus was making connections with what they were saying. He was taking a verse from Isaiah and then asked them, so when Jeremiah said that, you mean what he meant was this? And they said, are you serious? Then I checked it. All right? Okay, yeah. That's what he meant. And he said, then also, Daniel, I now remember when he said that must have meant what happened to Jonah. They said, okay, all right. And so they were astonished at his understanding and his answers. That word understanding means, all right, his critical faculty, his ability to put two and two together, all right, his ability to evaluate things, all right. It's almost the word you use when you're processing data, that they were astonished at the way in which he was processing the information they gave to him. But if they did not give him that information, and he did not sit down, and he was not taught, then there would have been no place, all right, for the Holy Ghost, no material for the Holy Spirit to use to bring about fresh ideas and thoughts. So it's important that we note that this is very important. Let me just say something about question and answers. I grew up in a church, and every third week, all right, or third Sunday in the month, we'll have questions. I was a young Christian. I just felt this was a good idea. But he will always have question and answer session, all right? He will teach in the morning, let's say in Bible class, that's 1 hour, maybe 7 to 8 to 9. Then we'll do praise and worship, then that third Sunday will be question. And then he will ask questions. I will ask questions and he will answer, all right? Will you write out your questions? And it was later on I discovered, reading books about how Jewish children are raised, that people cannot learn things. The thing won't be complete unless they are allowed to ask questions concerning what they have been taught. All right? And in church, we don't allow people to ask questions. Number two, even the teacher will go into excesses if he doesn't answer questions concerning what he is teaching. In other words, what happens is you assume yourself to be in a position of authority there because you've been talking and people have been listening, and quote and unquote, you can get away with anything. All right? So if you say something, you know, you just continue. So I've said this, that once every 2 months, we're going to start having a service, which will just be questions. All right? So people are going to write their questions, and then we'll take the best questions, the most relevant questions, and answer them. Okay? And when you are writing, if you feel that you know me and you don't want me to know that you're asking that question, you don't have to put your name there. You can create an email address, Jack, and say, Pastor, all right, I want to know because you're not, you know, you're all of that. And then when you write the questions, don't flatter me. Don't start by saying, "Pastor, you know, you are the greatest pastor. When I just came, I heard you teach. Everything just went. But I just have this question." Just ask the question straight. All right? We don't need flattery there. All right? And it will help, because it helps people even to go deeper into what they are saying, to know how people, all right, really are absorbing what is being said, and also will help people, right, as they learn. But Jesus there, the Bible tells us, that he demonstrated that kind of understanding. So, the word understanding there is critical wisdom. All right? Assesses and evaluates things. Puts two and two together. Now, how does this work? Close with this here. What happens is, when a person, and I have it here about the brain, how the brain develops. And that's why a lot of people feel that, you know, when a creative idea comes, as they say in the scripture, it comes as a gift of the gods. All right, it looks like something phenomenal. You look at the person and say, "How did you get this?" Because you think that creative ideas just come from the blue, which means the person just woke up and, you know, just got eureka moment. I found it. All right? But it's traceable. It comes from somewhere. It comes from information that that person has been receiving. Finally, the connection is made inside the person. The circuit is formed. And then the person sees it. Now, what happens is, when a child is growing up, and or a person is born and you're growing, all right, the brain begins to, they have what is called mirror neurons. And it's mirroring everything there, and mirroring everything there, trying to understand how to behave, how life is. After some time, what happens is, we've taught this before, the neural pathways get formed, which means the person finally has their worldview. This is how the world is. This is how I see things. This is my belief system. It can be completely erroneous, but that's their belief system. All right? Even when you get born again, the few Christians you move with, who teaches you what, all right, forms your belief system, it doesn't mean it is correct. It just means that those are the pathways that are formed in your brain there, and it's now formed. All right? So, let me tell you, the worst thing you can do to yourself is for somebody to present to you something different from what you know and to completely reject it. Because what you are saying is that everything that I know is what is right. Now, let me tell you how God will prove it to you. The way God is going to crack that is that he allows you now to face a problem that you check everything on the inside of yourself and you cannot solve the problem. You are faced with a challenge. So he tells you, man, can you see that this is a world you have created and not the real world? That's what he's trying to tell you. This is a belief system that is not in line, all right, with this. You see people go past you, bam. You say, how did that person do it? It's because their belief system is different. The way in which they've discovered things. Another person goes, bam. He says, listen, I'm trying to tell you, there is something wrong with the way in which you are wired. There is something about the way in which you are wired there. So growing up as a person, but I always tell people, a friend of my classmate, one day she saw me, she said, he told me, how can this guy be working for these people? No, she's more intelligent than them. All right, because we're all class. No. I said, look, I told you that we are Ibadan people. She said, what do you mean? I said, look, when you are growing up, you mirror things. How many businessmen do you see in Ibadan? I said, because so what we saw were professors, what we saw were vice chancellors, what we saw were, you know, all these things. So when we came to Lagos, I said, the skill set you had from a child was to work in an organization. So the minute the economy had problems, all of them started leaving Nigeria to an environment where they could fulfill what they saw in their parents. The rest of them stayed, but that, you know, well, everything is, you know, so if you go into corporations, you see them working, all right, this is AGM and all that, but that we wake up in the morning, we don't know where the salary is coming, where this is coming, and we're just doing entrepreneurship. No. Those skills, they do not have. It's almost like learning to walk again as a child. Anybody that is doing it had to learn again. Because the only thing I remember consciously as about businessmen was that on JAMB form, they said we shouldn't give businessmen to sign. Which means they told us we can give doctor, pastor, and this, but no business. Which means a businessman is not to be trusted. That's what. So the mindset is businessman is thief. I mean, it almost had to take renewal of mind to understand that. No. It's different. So it's what you see. All right? So you say, well, people play this way in Brazil. It's because they saw older people in Brazil playing that way. So they mirrored all of that. All right? So you find out that that's the way people begin to think. Now, what happens is once it is set, So once a problem comes that is beyond what you know, the same way you stood before the car and opened the bonnet and you are wondering, what do I do with this car? Life also opens the bonnet and you are wondering, there is no information that you need. Now let me tell you this, if somebody now played a video right there and somebody who knew about cars started telling you, there are five things about a car and they give you this purpose and you are learning. After some time, all right, your intelligence begins to process the information. You say, this is what we're going to do. I can solve the problem with this car. So in order to start out on something, the Holy Spirit said, get as much information on the earth that you can get. Be the best informed. Get the best information. Look, let me just make it that simple. People are ushering here. I can give them a challenge. Go home and just type how to be a good usher. Click. And then list 15 things. You will understand that your definition of ushering is what you probably saw in your first church. The knowledge you are working with, all right, is what you saw in your first church. Or you saw somewhere people were ushering, and that's what you're using. Suddenly you realize that then the Holy Spirit takes it and says, all right, this is what I want you to do. And that's how new thoughts begin to come and new material begins to come. So what do you do to get the Holy Spirit involved? Number one, I have this target or this problem or this issue here. Now, first thing I ask myself is, do I believe all things are possible? All right, I ask you, do you believe all things are possible? Yes. So if they give you a target of 500 million in 3 months, is it possible? Yes, because you said what? All things are what? Possible. All right? Now, innovation cannot start if you don't believe the solution is out there. Okay? So you believe all things are possible. Then you believe that you have the Holy Spirit who knows all things. And He is on the inside of you. So you know that the all-knowing one is on the inside of you. So what you do is that you start speaking God's word out of your lips first. And you speak it in specific terms. You don't say that the Holy Spirit teaches me all things. If the target is to move this organization, let's say a medical doctor has a child and they've been struggling on what to do to get this child well, and they're struggling and everybody has combined everything and can't get, then the doctor goes home and says, the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of me has taught me in very clear terms and showed me, let's say the man's name is Mr. X or XYZ, or I showed me how XYZ got completely healed. So you are specific now. You are taking the word of God out of general terms and you are targeting it on that particular thing. You want to solve the problem. You want to surmount a challenge. The person goes up and says, all right, the Holy Spirit has shown me in clear terms how this 3 million naira that I needed in 3 weeks, He taught me and showed me how I could get it. And I thank Him because I have it in my hands now. So you are reaching your target there with a confession of God's word. And you are declaring that. Now, don't say things like, you know, God will, let's say you need clients, God will stretch his hand to the Gentiles and start saying things you don't understand. All right? Take the scripture, I've shown this in Hebrews 11:3. God says something so you can be specific about it. He tells you, be specific and start saying that. Now, zero in your heart on solving that problem. In other words, I've never said this, but let me say it this way. Structure your confession that you make it, all right, every 3 hours. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you wake up in the morning, declare those here. All right? So that your heart is working on it. 9 a.m., take 5 minutes out, declare it. 12 noon, declare it. 3 p.m., declare it. 6 p.m., declare it. Okay? Once you start declaring it, the Holy Spirit rises in you. The Bible says, I believe, therefore I speak. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus, raised us up. Which means the Holy Ghost rises inside you as a mighty flood. Now, as the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine when it's excess. It says also don't be filled with spirit. All right, don't be drunk, but be filled with spirit. In other words, when you drink wine in excess, the wine gets into your brain, it enters everywhere, and you're under the influence of it. When you take in the Holy Ghost and you do that by confessing the word of God he has shown you, the Holy Spirit starts going into your brain also and everything. Then go and get the information. If you're a doctor, go back to the medical books that you have read about it and go and start looking at those books again. Start reading it again. All right? This time under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Start reading it there, knowing that I want to solve the problem of XYZ. I'm not here for general knowledge. I want to find out what is wrong with XYZ. Why we have given this drug and that drug and that drug and given this injection and that injection and that injection and it hasn't worked. It has to be somewhere. That information must be somewhere here. And then you start declaring, and you're looking. And now from time, the Holy Spirit now begins to walk because he understands you've taken his sword and you've directed it at that point. And what you are saying is, this is what I want you to do inside my heart. And once you give him the material there, he looks at the material there. All right, there's no information you give me to read today that I will not come out with a deep understanding of it once I meditate on God's word. What's meditating on God's word before you do that? As David said, is reciting the scriptures to yourself, reciting the word of God. That's what meditation is about. So David will take time before he goes to the class and he will recite the scriptures to himself So you want to have a presentation in 2 weeks. Look for scriptures there. Recite the scriptures to yourself. That God has given me a tongue and a wisdom that none of these people are going to be able to gainsay. As I open my mouth to speak, right? And start reciting the word of God. And get the Holy Ghost activated. Then ask him, listen, show me where I get all the information concerning this particular thing here. All right? And then he gives you the information. Sit down and structure your time there. Right? 2 hours every day I will read concerning that thing. It is when you begin to talk that you might even have discovered how far the Holy Spirit has shown you. When you begin to talk. I will close with something I heard Governor Jeb Bush share about his mother. He said, if my mother taught me anything, and I understood what he was saying, she taught us to tell our children and her grandchildren to read. And they should read until they find opinions that contradict what they think. Said, then they have started discovering knowledge. All right? It's not confirmation bias. It's not that you are trying to reinforce. And this is what we do in church. We preach to the choir, which means we just reinforce what we say. Confirmation. You want to read, okay? You want to ask questions. I mean, there was something, I watched it on video, and I was telling friends in Abuja. I said, somebody had a college of bishops, this was in America, they had a question and answer time, and the guy went into heresy. But I said, this man's questions were valid. I said, don't forget, his questions were valid. All right? And I said, what took him out was the way he was treated, but the questions were valid. And what he was trying to say was that we have taken a mindset in church, transferred it from one generation to another. And when people ask us questions concerning our mindset, we don't have answers, but we forbid anybody to ask for them. But you don't have the answers to it. I said, what that man was asking is correct. All right? I said, and he was asking honestly from an experience he had had in his life. Right? So people will come across things that contradict. I mean, I remember growing up as a Christian. I told God one day, I said, God, I don't understand what's going on here. I said, look at Mary and look at Zechariah. I said, how? I will skip it. So God said, why? How, why should you judge Zechariah and you taught Mary? I said, it's the same thing that happened. The angel Gabriel came to Mary, the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah. Their response was the same. The angel said, fear not, which means both of them showed fear. Then the angel announced what will happen. Mary said exactly the same thing Zechariah said. Zechariah said, how can these things be? Seeing I know no, seeing I'm well stricken in years. Mary said, how can these things be? Seeing I know no man. Then everything changed. You, the angel now said, Zechariah, you will not talk until, and started judging him. Mary, you taught Mary and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of God shall overshadow thee. I said, what is happening here? They responded the same way. Then the Holy Ghost told me, read it again. Then I sat one day with it boldly. Then I saw it. When the angel came to Mary, the angel said, thou art highly favored. When the angel came to Zechariah, the angel said, your prayers are answered. If you knew you were well stricken in years, why were you praying? And that's how you begin to advance, which means questions come. So I want those kind of questions. Are you following me? Questions come and you don't run away from questions. Are you following what I'm saying? So every question that is in your life today, every target you cannot meet, every dream you have that you have not yet fulfilled, is telling you that you are short on knowledge. It's telling you that the way you have been wired from childhood doesn't match the aspirations of your life. That your wiring must do what? Change. And for your wiring to change, some things that you consider not to be the way people should approach things, those are the things you need to absorb now in your life. Right? So look for any person that is really successful and they prioritize knowledge. They look at knowledge and say, before we do anything, we must be. And that's the kind of Christians God wants. Right? People that they, on their subject matter, they have what is called perfect understanding. They sit with it until they understand what is going on. So when you talk to them, they go into, they will tell you things, which means they have researched this thing. And why are they, no, they're not researching so that we don't talk, so that, because they want to solve a problem. They're not just researching things just to say I'm an informed person. No, they want to solve a problem. Once that problem is solved, the next challenge comes, they research again, they solve that. The next challenge comes, they research again. So they understand that learning and acquiring knowledge never. And the reason why this brain circuit stops is that when you were in school, you were reading, then after some time you felt you now know in life. All right? So you relaxed. I'm an adult. I know. You don't read anything. Nothing. You don't read anything. Nothing. You don't learn any information. And then you sit down. And then when people are talking, you cause problem with your own thoughts. All right? And you don't understand that nakedness will show after some time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.